Father God, thank you so much for your eternal word. Lord, you sent your word and healed our disease. Lord, the disease of sin and your light, the entrance of your word brings light. It brings revelation. And where there is light, the darkness cannot exist. Father, we pray that you would open our understanding, our hearts today to hear and receive the truth. You said we will know the truth. And the truth will set us free. Father, we want to be completely holy, completely healed, and completely ready for your coming, for your bride. Make us ready for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I heard something recently that I felt was worth repeating. We've made a big emphasis about speaking in tongues in Pentecostal circles, and I'm all for it. I pray in the Spirit all the time, and I know many of you do as well, to pray in tongues. But it's important because it edifies the individual who prays, and we pray in mysteries often. Sometimes God will give us interpretation of what we're praying. But you know, folks, just because someone speaks in tongues does not mean that they're holy or that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your life will be holy.
Amen.
Because He makes us holy. So it's not just about speaking in tongues. There's people who speak in tongues and live like the devil. But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's about you and I yielding ourselves, every part of us, to the Spirit of God and letting Him possess and have us totally. Holiness is not something I do. It's not something I achieve. It's something I receive. Holiness is me in Him who's holy. He makes us holy. You see, it's not about working towards some goal of holiness. It's about abiding in the Holy One. As we abide in Him, we are holy because He is whole. And He makes us whole. Does that make sense? Hopefully they'll simplify it. And the key to being holy is to open our hearts, to open our lives to Him who's holy, and let Him in. Remember when Jesus was knocking on the door of Laodicea in Revelation? He was knocking on the door of a church. And He said, are you going to let me in? And just because people gather does not mean that they have let Jesus in. Amen. And I pray that you will open your heart and let Jesus in and let Him fill you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be holy. When you continue to abide in His holiness, you will continue to walk in a holy way. Amen. Is that making sense? The same thing to be in right standing, to receive righteousness, amen, as a gift and not to try to achieve righteousness as a work. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, they tried to achieve righteousness by following the rule, the letter of the law. But righteousness is given as an impartation from God, an impartation of grace. It is the gift of righteousness. It is not something you can achieve. As long as I'm trying to achieve righteousness, I'm failing miserably. But when I receive righteousness, I am made right. I have life and peace in the Spirit. Is that making sense, right? It's really simple. In fact, children often understand it before the adults do. You just say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I welcome you as my holiness. I welcome you as my righteousness, as my redemption, as my wisdom. As all that I need is in you. As we walk according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, we walk in freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from fear. Because His perfect love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. As we open our hearts and let Jesus have us, possess us. See, we're the temple. We are like a house with many rooms. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, Lord, you can sit in the living room. I'll make a spot on the couch for you, but you got to stay out of the attic. I don't want you to see what's in the basement. And as long as we're shutting him out, we're going to continue to be unholy, because he has to have all of us in order to fill all of us. And if he fills us, then we are filled with what? His holiness, the Holy Spirit, who makes us holy. Yeah, holy, free. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that word. I'm finding, you know, just walking in the Spirit is such, it's like Sid Roth says, it's naturally supernatural, you know. But it really becomes your new reality, your new life, your new way. And, of course, it's going to be abnormal to people who were like us at one time, who didn't understand those things. And when you come in and you've really opened your heart, then you begin to understand, oh, now I know why those people are so crazy over there for Jesus. Why they're lifting their hands and shouting and rejoicing in him, because they've been had an encounter with the living God, and he is a life-giving spirit. He has quickened me. He has strengthened me. He's exciting. God is not boring. People who are bored in church are people who have shut God out. But if you open your heart, he says, I will come in and we'll have fellowship. If you're willing to bow your soul to the Lord, then you'll come into fellowship, sweet communion. Because when we take communion, folks, it's not about the elements. It's about the person of Christ that we encounter as we symbolically partake and we reflect on him. True communion is in the Spirit with the Lord. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And God wants us to be free in him, because we have opened our hearts and allowed him to have all of us. It's in the areas where we refuse to yield or bow. Those are arrogant areas of our lives, and God will not possess those parts of us. And if you want to be free, you're going to have to surrender everything. You're going to have to die to yourself. Die to yourself if you want to live in him. Get over yourself. Get over your agenda. Get over your ways. Just be done with it. Come to the conclusion that my way is really not the best way. His way. Father God, thank you for your word today. And thank you for all that you've accomplished for us in our redemption. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for laying down your life for us, that we might be cleansed and that we might be qualified to stand in your presence, holy, as you make us holy. Hallelujah. When you say yes to Jesus, when you receive Jesus, you enter into a war that's already in progress. The difference being before you're on the other side, and might not have even realized it, but we were on the other side. We were enemies of God. Amen. But when we come to Christ and the Lord comes to dwell within us, we have entered into a spiritual battle. And folks, hear me today. This fight is not optional. You just can't say, well, I don't want to bother with that. I don't want to bother with the devil. I don't want to get involved in any of that spiritual stuff, warfare stuff. Guess what? When you say yes to Jesus, you are automatically involved in a war. You have just switched sides. You've turned coat on the devil, and he's not happy about it. And if you're going to survive, you're going to have to fight. The awesome thing is that we're on the winning side, and Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. He has overcome the world. And so we have access to all that we have need of to live a life victorious over the darkness. God cannot help us if we remain in passivity, in some kind of neutral state. kind of the fatalistic view of, well, whatever's going to happen to me, well, just must be the will of God. It's just going to happen. Do you know so many people are being beat around by the devil simply because they don't fight? And they just take all the crap, excuse me, that he throws on you because you're not standing against him. We've got to rise up and say, no, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're not of human origin. I can't fight the devil on my own. No, neither can you. But they're mighty through God. And greater is the one that's in me than he that's in the world. And I don't have to put up with it. And if you want to win the battle externally, folks, you're going to have to first win the battle internally. You know, there's a lot of things we want to do for God, a lot of deeds and good deeds, and we're called to good deeds. Amen? But before we're going to be good at the good deeds or really be able to represent Christ effectively in the external things that we do, you're going to have to get victory internally. How many have discovered that? If you're not standing on the inside, you're not going to stand on the outside. If you don't have victory on the inside, then there's not going to be good fruit on the outside. And so this battle, as you know, is really a battle for who's going to be in control of me, who's going to rule me, who's going to have control of this mind up here, who am I going to listen to? Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You know, anytime our government declares the United States is at war, guess what? I don't care if you want to sit around and drum for peace or not. If the government says we're at war, guess what? That makes everyone a target of the enemy. And we're automatically, because we're part of this nation, whether you agree with it or not, I'm not here to say I agree with everything our government does, but nonetheless, once they say we're at war, guess what? We're automatically part of that because we're citizens of this nation. So it is in the spirit. If you're a citizen of heaven, you cannot be passive and defeat your enemy. We need to be aggressive in the spirit. By the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, we are to defeat the giants that stand in our way. God brought Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, amen, into the wilderness where they would learn to trust him, to hear his voice, and to depend upon him. But then he said, I'm taking you out to bring you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But what they didn't realize is that there were giants in that land that they were going to have to defeat. God said, I will drive them out from before you, but you're going to have to go in and possess that land. And you know, they couldn't possess that land if they sat on the border and said, well, if it's God's will, God already told them, it's my will to give you that land, but you have to go in and possess it. You have to drive these enemies out. Don't try to strike a bargain with them or a deal with them. Don't compromise with your enemy. He's saying, do not cohabitate with them. Drive them out. Don't flirt with sin. Amen? Deal with it. Drive it out. Repent of it. Renounce it. Get it out of your life because it's there by the enemy as a means of destroying you. And you cannot... This devil that we're fighting does not play fair, folks. He is not going to play fair with you. You can, you know, sometimes the governments are foolish in this world because they try to negotiate peace with nations that only are bent on their destruction. Sound familiar? And sometimes we as Christians, we can do the same thing. We just don't want to be bothered with all that warfare stuff. You're in a war and you're going to fight or you're going to get stomped. Our God has gone before us. Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. Jesus Christ has spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Jesus has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's overcome the devil. Amen. And now he's given authorization for you and I to enforce what he has accomplished. Folks, that's what we're called to do, is to enforce what he's already done. Do you see that? We're enforcers of his law, the law of the Spirit. When a police officer has been given that badge represents authority. And if that police officer understands that he's got the government backing him up, then he's going to have confidence in the authority that's been invested in him to arrest offenders, to bring into captivity those that need to be, amen, taken off the street. So likewise, God has given us spiritual weapons. He's given us authority to use his name to go in his stead and to arrest those thoughts that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God. When the devil tells you that God doesn't love you, for example, that's a high thing that's exalting itself against the truth. It's an illegal thought, because we need to remember that it was God who first loved us. For God so loved the world. And he gave us his Son. He demonstrated his love for us in the cross. That while we were yet in sin, he died. Does God love me? Absolutely. When I hear that devil say, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, he wouldn't allow you to go through what you're going through. And he tries to get us to believe a lie as though it were true. And if we accept that lie as though it were true, we are what's called deceived in our minds. And as long as we are holding on to deception, or we're believing a lie as though it was truth, we have what's called a stronghold of the devil. So it's really a battle of truth. What's true is what's authentic. What's true is what's real. Anything that doesn't line up with what God says is false. In Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Witnesses. What does that word mean? It means martyrs. That's where we get our word martyr. Did you know that? That word for witness actually means martyr. You'll be my martyrs. What does that mean? It means that we are willing to lay down our life for what we believe. Have we received the power of the Holy Spirit since we believe? Have we been endued with power? Are we his witnesses? Are we his martyrs? Are we willing to lay down our lives for what we believe? If our hearts are not in the place where he is truly possessing us, where we're full of himself, then we can't say yes to that, because what will happen is we will operate in fear and we will want to save ourselves. We'll want to spare ourselves. We'll be afraid of rejection. We'll be afraid of the opinions of men. But when we're full of the Holy Spirit and we're in complete holiness with him, then we don't have that kind of fear. Instead, we're like and so in love with Jesus that we're willing to do whatever he tells us to do, even if it means our life. Why? Because my life is not in this world anyways. My life is hidden with Christ in God. He's my life. I'm alive in him. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have already been raised from the dead today? Amen. You've been buried with Jesus. You've raised from the dead. You're already alive in him. My life is not my own. I am his martyr. I'm willing to lay my life down. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get shot or something, or have your head chopped off. It could. But what it means is that I present now my life, my back to God as a living sacrifice. I am now giving myself over to Him. I lay it down so that I might find my life in Him now. Every time I say no to my flesh and yes to Jesus, I live. I experience life. Every time I say no to the spirit and yes to the flesh, I die internally. Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of my Father. Remember? Jesus found satisfaction in doing the will of his Father, but he didn't find satisfaction in the world. Because you and I have discovered, haven't we, that this world truly does not satisfy you. Maybe not everybody's come to that conclusion yet, but I tell you what, folks, the things that I used to think were so important to me, now they're just, it's just junk. You know, you finally grow up and wake up one day and say, you know, all that stuff I was chasing after, it was empty. It looked so good, but it left me empty and it left me dead. I was looking for love and life in all the wrong places, you know. I was looking for the living among the dead. God's given us mighty weapons, 2 Corinthians 10:4. That's that verse for the weapons of our warfare are not of human origin, but they're mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds. I did a series on strongholds a while back. Excuse me. And what is a stronghold? A stronghold is a place of security. It means a fortified castle. A stronghold is a place where we have been sympathetic towards evil. And whenever you say, it's okay, kind of like what the devil tried to get Eve to believe, and finally she did. Oh, it's no big deal listening to God. You really don't need to. And so she was sympathetic towards an evil thought or a word that came to her. And as a result, the enemy was able to enter in and destroy the paradise that they had. That place of intimacy with God, they became, you know, aware, and they had lost their spiritual clothing. Yep. Now, the same thing is true today. Whenever we are sympathetic towards evil, whenever we try to justify ourselves, then we allow the enemy to continue to stay or abide in that part of us. And it's just like that house again. If that house has rooms that are not committed to Christ, that are not open for his presence, then those are the very things that can cause decay in your life. Because what the enemy does is he wants to establish a stronghold, first of all, in your thought life. Because you start to entertain the evil thoughts that you shouldn't be thinking on, dwelling on. And then if you start to give into that and you start to dwell on those things, then he starts to camp out in that area where you're being sympathetic towards evil. And he just doesn't stay there. How many know that he goes and he brings his big guns in right behind him? He just wants to get his foot in the door, amen, and then he's bringing in the other boys. And the next thing you know, you're just, your whole life is just taken over. And this happens to Christians too. If we have an unguarded thought life, we're engaged in a battle, and the battle really is in our minds, folks. And you know, Jesus has already, he's defeated Satan, but he's given us the authority and the weaponry to enforce what he's already established. You know, I think about the Iraq war. Not going to get into the politics of the thing, but we went in and we took Baghdad, established bases there, had somewhat, you know, control over the situation. And now we decided that all that life and blood and treasure must not have been worth it. And we're pulling our boys out. And guess what's happened now? We're all watching it unfold. That the enemy's come right back in and just repossessing what we had given so much for. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do in your life. Is he wants to take back what used to be his. And if we yield to him through the thought life, and we begin to think the things that or entertain the thoughts that do not agree with what God says, then we allow the enemy to have a stronghold. And whenever he establishes that stronghold, it might even be depression. He comes in and he says, you're just supposed to be depressed. You're just going to have to deal with it in your life. You can't be free from it. God's not big enough, or God doesn't care about you. And we need to say, wait a minute. God wants me to have joy. That's what the Word says. God wants me to have His peace. How many know peace is being free from anxiety? And anxiety in the heart, it says in Proverbs, causes depression. So it's a stronghold, folks, and it can be toppled if we change our mind, if we repent, change our thinking. Say, wait a minute, that's illegal. I'm not supposed to be depressed. I'm supposed to have joy. Why am I accepting that lie as though it were true for me? Folks, I think so often I'm all for medical doctors. Thank God we have the medicine we have in America, but so often we're running to the doctors, you know, before we ever even ask Jesus about the situation or really, you know, really diligently seek Him about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want to believe you for my healing first. Amen. I believe God can supernaturally heal depression. He's done it in my life. And it doesn't even have to be a process of being healed of depression. It just means I need to change the way I'm thinking about it and say, wait a minute, that thought that I have to be depressed because the medical doctor says, you've got this and that's who you are, is illegal. Wait a minute. How many times have we heard the doctors, amen, say something? You've got this, or this is true about you. And you say, wait a minute. I'm going to find out what God has to say about this. I'm going to go to my God. I'm going to believe my God. And there are many, many miracles because people believe God. And God delivered them from having to go to the doctor. There's times when God may ask you to go to the doctor. His ways are mysterious, but I will say this. That anything that has to do with the devil or spiritual infestation in your life due to a stronghold is very easily dealt with. Very easily. A word will cast him out. Amen. Yes. There is a difference between what's happening biologically. Sometimes we're in a corruptible body, and sometimes there's just biological things that go wrong. All of us are going to check out someday, right? But if it's due to a spiritual infestation, or that sickness is due to a demon, we have authority. I have discovered, and as the Lord would give revelation in a situation, sometimes He says, it's a spirit, deal with a spirit. Now, the extreme of that is where everything is a spirit. Spirit of headache, come out, you know. Well, it could be a spirit, but it doesn't mean it always is. When I was young in the Lord, I used to think everything was just, you know, everything was spiritually connected. And then I began to realize that, you know, that we're in a corruptible body. God can heal. Yes, He can heal. But folks, if God healed every time, we'd be thousands of years old. We'd never die. Okay, I don't want to debate this doctrinally with anybody here. But folks, there's just some things you're going to have to deal with in this life and in this body. We always believe God. We always believe for the miracle. We believe because we know God can do it. He can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. We believe God, but there are just certain things that, you know, people are going to have to ride out with. I've had so many people. I remember in our church in New York, we had this one young lady that came in. She was quadriplegic. And she was in a wheelchair. And, you know, a lot of well-meaning Christians came over and spoke over here and wanted to tell her something that would make her maybe encourage her that God's going to heal you and take you out of this wheelchair. And, you know, folks, too many times that happens and the person has all faith and they're confident in God that they're going to be healed. Well, the ultimate healing is to be with Jesus. Yeah. Come on. We're not. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. But sometimes, folks, disease and sickness is a direct correlation to a bad thought life, because we are entertaining the wrong thoughts and we're giving access for the enemy to come in and to camp out and cause sickness in the body. So if we can identify the source of it, if it's biological or physical, pray for the healing. Amen. Pray that that person will be healed. Anoint with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. If it's a spiritual thing, then you speak to the spirit that's causing the sickness. You cast the demon out and that person's instantly healed. We're in a war. And if we don't watch what's going on in the mind, in our thought life, then we're going to end up getting stomped. Or we're going to end up being a slave. You know, people, folks, they want to drum for peace, but if you've got people parachuting down on you, you know, with weapons in hand, and they want to kill you, I don't think drumming for peace is the right thing to do. Come on. Now, I mean, I'm one of those guys who would drum for peace, you know what I'm saying? But I've discovered I'm in a war, and we're warriors, and our commander-in-chief has overcome the world. He's the victor, amen? He has the keys. He's got all the authority. And he says, now you go in my name and preach the gospel. You cast out demons. You heal the sick. You raise the dead in my name, in the authority I give you. In my name, take authority over those thoughts that come to you, those high things that exalt themselves against what God says. Oh, you're just going to have to be fearful all your life. You're just going to have to deal with anxiety all your life, the devil says. You might as well just give into it and accept it as just a reality. But God says he's not given us a spirit of fear. So that's an illegal thing. Folks, anxiety is illegal. Why? Because Jesus said, do not worry. Do not worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about anything. But just seek the kingdom of God above everything else, and he's going to take care of all that stuff. And you'll have peace of heart and mind because you're in right relationship with him. You're in fellowship with him who is peace. So anxiety is not something that you have to live with. I know there's going to be somebody that may not agree with me because they have more faith in medical doctors than in Christ, but I'm here to tell you there are certain things that I know are illegal for children of God because they have to do with wrong thoughts and wrong thought systems where we're entertaining the wrong thoughts and we're allowing certain things in our minds that God says, wait a minute, that's something that you need to deal with, because as long as you say, I've got anxiety disorder. I'm going to even take it another step further. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a this. I'm a that. What does God say about it? Who does he say that you are now in Christ? You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. But what he wants you to do is accept the old thing as something you just have to live with. Folks, until I came to the realization, you know what? That I don't have to be an addict. I don't have to be on drugs anymore. Because Jesus has overcome it. Amen. And the truth is, whosoever believes in the truth, Christ, will be set free. So if my faith is in God's ability and not in myself, I can be free from it. As long as I'm trying in my own willpower, my own strength to overcome addiction, ain't happening. But by the power, the grace of God, you can do it. It's in his ability and not in your ability. So that stronghold that tells you, well, you're just going to have to be this washed out drug addict all your life. And folks, I understand the importance of confession and saying, you know, I first acknowledge I have a problem. But I tell you what, the Lord spoke to me and says, you're not that anymore. Why are you saying that? Instead, confess who you are. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. Hallelujah. My past is not supposed to be dwelling in my present. My past is under the blood. Amen. And every stronghold has been defeated at the cross. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, you can defeat any enemy that comes in your face. See, the giant, all he has is intimidation. He rises up and he says, I'm drug addiction. Arr! And he tries to magnify the lie. But he's really a little mouse with a megaphone. And you say, wait a minute, you're illegal. My big brother Jesus Christ defeated you and he's given me authority over you. And in Jesus' name, you must bow and you must go. And you say no to that enemy, amen? And don't say, don't give in at all. I mean, don't let yes be an option for him. Now, once again, folks, although Jesus overcame our enemies. He expects us to enforce what he's done. I can give you example after example of people that I've known who thought that they could just come to Jesus and then kind of ride in neutral zone and avoid all the fray and the war and the difficulties by just kind of hanging out and finding this comfortable little spot. It's called being lukewarm. And I'm telling you, folks, if you want to live a lukewarm life, you're going to live a defeated life and you're going to be a slave to the enemy. You will be a slave. Because the slave is the one that has given his rights up. Amen. We're supposed to be slaves of God, servants of the Most High God. But if you want to give your rights up to the enemy, and by believing his lies, then you will be his slave. And you will live the life that he dictates to you. That's why God said to the church of Laodicea, you can't be lukewarm. You've got to either be hot or cold. Make up your mind. You've got to have a determined heart. You know, you've got to set yourself to say, you know what? I can't be in the middle. I'm either on the winning side or the losing side. And I don't know about you, but I've spent enough time as a loser in the world. And now I plan on winning because Jesus has already overcome for me. You are already a winner. If you're in Christ, you're already an overcomer. But if you don't believe that about yourself, then you won't live that. Isn't that true? If we don't believe who we are, then we won't be who we are. If we don't believe that we are overcomers, then we won't overcome. If we don't believe that Jesus is bigger than the addiction, then I will continue to be a slave to that addiction. Because it's a stronghold, a place of security. The enemy has set up camp. And he's convinced many people that they're just going to have to be this way. It's just too big. I like the way Robin puts it. He says, is God weak? Our God is not weak. He is the Almighty God. His power is limitless, infinite. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to his mighty power at work within us. This is the God that we're serving. We're not to be bound by fear or insecurity or anxiety. We're not to be bound by a spirit of rejection, as if God doesn't care, God doesn't love me. These are all strongholds of the enemy, and they must be toppled. One by one, you take authority over them. When they confront you, you need to know who you are and who's backing you up. God has given you his badge. He's given you his authority. I'm an enforcer of what Jesus has already accomplished. We've come in, amen, God has overcome the world. This world belongs to our God. And he's given me the authority on earth to enforce what he's done in, amen, and doing in heaven. And what he's saying in heaven, I speak on earth. What he's binding in heaven, I bind on earth. We need to believe in the God that we serve. Know that he is able to do more than we could ask or think. He's a big God. He's a great God. He's an awesome God. He's an almighty God. And you need to quit making excuses and quit justifying yourself. Jesus said, those who justify themselves before men are an abomination to God. He was speaking of the Pharisees, who, when they were confronted about their lives, about the reality of who they were, they always tried to justify themselves. Oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. When I quit making excuses for my vices, then God set me free. When I got totally honest with God and I got totally dependent on God and I was no longer trusting in me, I had died to self. As you die to yourself, you'll live in Christ in victory. How many know that it's really that internal battle that's going to determine even your external victory? If you can get your thought life in order and understand through the revelation of the Word of God, this is what God says. And when something comes in, you say, wait a minute, that's illegal. That thought needs to be taken captive to the obedience of Christ. We're enforcing what Christ has already accomplished. And as his people, as his ambassadors, we have been given that authorization to say, I don't have to allow these thoughts to dominate my mind anymore. But in Jesus' name, we take them captive. I looked up that word arrest. And the word arrest, listen to this, it means to seize by legal authority or warrant. The police arrested the burglar, for example. It also means to catch and to hold, attract and fix. For example, the loud noise arrested our attention. How about this one? To arrest also means to stop, slow down, as in arresting progress. And in medical terminology, you could say, you know, that the disease was arrested. In other words, it was either stopped completely, or it was at least the progress was slowed down. And so, likewise, we are to enforce on earth the will of God. So, know who you are, but know who you are in Him and who He is and what He's already done. He's already overcome. You are an overcomer in Christ. You need to know that and believe that about yourself. And then when these illegal thoughts come in, you take authority. You don't have to call the preacher. Amen? Sometimes it's good to have brothers and sisters pray for us. That's okay. But folks, you need to learn how to walk by faith. You need to learn how to deal with these things when they come up. Amen? Because if you're at work and you're being bombarded by something, you just can't run to church and say, would you guys pray for me? Amen? You got to know how to deal with the situation right then and there. Because the only thing the enemy has to work with is lies. He does not have power over a believer except what we give him by believing his lies. So God says, I want you free indeed. I want you to walk in the victory that I've already accomplished for you. I want you to have life and I want you to have peace in the Spirit. I don't want you to be tormented by your adversaries. Kick them out. Deal with them. Drive them out. Because I'm going before you. Do you understand? You're in a war. And you cannot be passive. It's time to take an aggressive stance. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Right? Opposition in the spirit. But the violent, the aggressive, take it by force. That's why we should have aggressive prayer, aggressive praise. Come on. Not passive pray, not passive praise, but what? Aggressive praise, aggressive prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer, right, of a righteous man avails much. We're in a war, and we need to stomp out the enemy in our lives and in our family and in our children and whoever's dealing with addictions. Take authority. Stand your ground. Resist the devil. First submit yourself to God and then resist him. And he will give you victory. Amen? Because the devil will flee from you. Is when he figures out that you're not backing down, you're not giving up, you're not throwing in the towel, you're not going to be a slave to him, you're not going to listen to him anymore. When he realizes that, guess what? He's going to quit wasting his time on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.